What a glorious night. What a glorious thing. I mean, isn't it truly awesome when you think about it, that the whole world goes crazy about something that happened 2,000 years ago, something that we pretty much all of us, even those who aren't Christians, could tell a whole lot about what happened on this night that still makes us so excited. Because God Himself, the great I Am, came to be with us on this night. And that's a huge thing. And that's why no matter how much we celebrate it, it can never, ever be enough. We continue to tell the story over and over and over and over. And it's always just as exciting as the first time that we heard it. Have you ever noticed, though, seriously, when you tell the important stories of your life, all right? So when you're talking about your life, when you're sharing your life with somebody else, and you tell the most important stories of your life, you hardly ever tell it the same way, right? Hardly ever is it exactly the same way that you told it last time. And yet, at the same time, there's always, every time you tell it, there's always details in it that you are sure to include. No matter how you may tell it differently, certain details are always there. I will always mention, no matter how many times I tell it, that it was in the basement of a church in Ferguson when I first laid eyes on the most beautiful woman in the world. And knew that day, I did. I told my cousin who was with me, I'm gonna marry that woman. Had never laid eyes on her, never saw her before in my life, didn't know anything about her. But for some reason, where it happened always gets mentioned in the story. I can always tell you exactly certain details about the days my sons were born. The Astros were destroyed by the Cardinals on the night that Matthew, my oldest, was born. And the Blues beat the Blackhawks in the playoffs, hardly ever happens, on the night when Sean was born, right? We all have certain details that we include every time we tell the story. And sometimes those details may seem insignificant, but they're really not insignificant at all, right? And the story of the birth of Jesus Christ is no different at all. Most of us probably know enough about the story that we could share some of those details. There's Mary, and there's Joseph, and Bethlehem, and angels, and shepherds, and wise men. And we know that there was no room at the inn. And we know that the child got wrapped up in swaddling clothes, whatever swaddling clothes are, and laid in a manger. And friends, these details are important. They really are. But here's the thing. Even if we didn't know any of these details, the story would still be just as important. The story would still be just as world transformational, because this, even if we don't know all those details, here's the real crux of it, here's the heart of it, of that story. God loved us so much that God actually became one of us so that we could be one with Him, right? God loves us so much that He actually became one of us so that we could become one with Him. Now, the Bible tells this story in a wonderful way about a baby who was born to an unmarried couple under the most extraordinary circumstances. And the Bible tells us where it happened and where it didn't. And it's interesting that it wasn't enough for the Gospels to simply say He was born. And it wasn't enough for them to say that He was born in Bethlehem. They go on to tell us that He was born in a barn and placed in a manger because there was no room for the family in the inn in Bethlehem. Now let's face it, a manger is a pretty nasty place to put a newborn baby. I remember when my oldest son Matthew was born. I did not let him out of the house for 18 months. No one was allowed to come in without surgical mask on. And the first time Matthew left the house, I had a hazmat suit on him just to make certain, right? I just cannot imagine putting a newborn baby in a disgusting animal feeding trough, because that's what a manger is. Suffice it to say, it's not the usual crib for a newborn king. But as much as we remember that manger, we also remember why Jesus was put in a manger. We remember that Mary and Joseph arrived at the inn only to be told that they had no room for them there. Well, friends, honestly, have you ever wondered if that was really true? Have you ever wondered if maybe there was room in that inn, but the innkeeper was fudging a little, right? In those days, inns didn't have separate rooms like what you and I have. You didn't get your own room. Inns were one gigantic room, and dozens of families stayed in that gigantic room. You would just get your little spot on the floor to sleep with the dozens and dozens of other families. Have you ever thought that maybe the innkeeper really did have a spot on the floor that he could have given to this family? But he saw that this unmarried woman was very obviously pregnant and maybe even gonna give birth any moment now. And so he decided he just didn't want them in his inn. Or maybe if really it's true there wasn't room, don't you think you would find a way to make room when you see how desperate this woman needed help? But they didn't. They didn't make room. And so Jesus wasn't born in an inn where human beings stay. He was born in a barn where animals stay. But I would think there's at least one advantage to that. Just think, when Jesus was growing up, right, and he left the front door open, and Mary said, "Close the door, were you born in a barn?" He could say, "As a matter of fact, I was," and just leave the door open. You know, friends, there's a church in Bethlehem that sits on the spot where tradition tells us Jesus was born. And this church is considered so holy, so sacred, that three different Christian traditions, the Roman Catholic Church, the Armenian Church, and the Greek Orthodox Church, all claim that they own it. And so for centuries, the three of them have lived there in kind of this uneasy truce. Now, I have been there many, many times, and I don't know absolutely for certain that this church indeed sits on the very spot where Jesus was born. But what I am very, very certain of is that this birth is so holy, that this birth is so important, that we want to know exactly where it took place so that we can venerate that ground, so that we can take that rather ordinary piece of real estate and recognize the holiness in it because Jesus was born there. And I have to wonder if the innkeeper ever found out who it was that he turned away that night, right? I wonder if a few decades later, when all of Jerusalem, and Bethlehem was right outside of Jerusalem, when all of Jerusalem in the area was going crazy over this wonderful man named Jesus, I wonder if the innkeeper found out, that's the one I turned away all those years ago. I wonder if decades later, if the innkeeper found out that when he turned that pregnant young woman away, he was actually closing the door to God. Now, friends, this isn't just a story about what an innkeeper did 2,000 years ago. Because if that was the case, I wouldn't be wasting your time talking about it on this holy day. But this story isn't about what an innkeeper did 2,000 years ago. It's about what God did 2,000 years ago, and just as important, what God is still doing today, and about what we do about what God is doing. See, at Christmas, God came into the world to be with us. And my friends, listen to this all-important truth. God continues to come into our world to be with us. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that Christmas isn't something that just happened 2,000 years ago, but Christmas is an ongoing event. Christmas is something that still happens every single solitary day. God always and forever continues to come to be with us, to share his presence with us. Sometimes God knocks at our doors and we are asked if there's room in the inn. And sometimes we look out and really we don't like what we see. And so we say, no, there's no room here. And other times we look out and we know exactly who it is that's knocking. But we're afraid of what it might mean to let Christ in. So we still close the door and say, and politely this time, no, I'm sorry, I'd love to, but got other things going. I can't help you. But sometimes, friends, even when we are afraid of what it might mean to open the door and let Christ in, we open it anyway. And that matters so much. Because that is when Christmas happens now. That is when Christmas continues to happen in our world. See, Christmas is about Mary and Joseph and the baby and the manger and no room at the inn. But that story teaches us more than just what happened in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. It teaches us about opening ourselves up to God and what God is doing now and what God is trying to do for us, what God is trying to do in us, what God is trying to do through us for the world. And this ongoing story is about God telling us that even if it's very frightening for us, even if we don't know what it really means to open the door and let him in, Christmas means that we choose to open that door anyway because we want to be a part of the Christmas story. We want to be a part of what God is continuing to do in this world. And friends, I got to believe that I know some of you are here because your parents dragged you here or your spouse dragged you here. But the vast majority of the people around the world today who are in a church, and the vast majority of all of you here today are here because right now you want to be, at least a part of you wants to be a part of what God is doing in the world. Some part of you wants to take part in the ongoing story of Christmas. Some part of you recognizes what the glorious thing of Christmas is all about, and you want to be a part of that. Some part of you wants to be a part of love made real, of God actually being active in our world. Some part of you wants to be a part of a world where grace and hope are actually real, and love finally wins out. Some part of you wants to be a part of the Christmas story. Listen to me, friends, because I believe with all of my heart and soul and mind and strength that because of Christmas, God is with us, for real, actually with us. And I believe that not only is God with us, but God is still choosing to be active in our world. And God is still writing, present tense, God is still writing the Christmas story. God is still writing the story of what happened when Jesus Christ was welcomed into the world. God is still writing the story of what happens when Jesus Christ came into the world as the Prince of Peace. And here's the really exciting thing. You can be a part of that story. You can be a part of what happened when God came to the world. So, of course, the million-dollar question is, do you want to? Do you honestly want to be a part of what God's doing in our world? Just think about it. It was the very, very same event, the very, very same event, same time, but the innkeeper closed his door to what was happening. He chose not to be a part of what God was doing. But when the shepherds were told that the baby had been born, they dropped everything and they came running to the manger and saw this glorious thing that God was doing in the world. Well, friends, that's who I want to be on Christmas Eve, and that's who I want to be every day. I don't want to be the one who closes the door to God in fear of what might happen. I want to be the one who drops everything and comes running to see what God is doing, because I want to be a part of what God is doing in the world. When God works in this world, I want to be there. I don't want to be a part of it. I want to glory with God in the awesome thing that he's doing. You see, just like that ordinary piece of ground in Bethlehem, I want to be the ordinary, everyday, common thing that becomes holy, not because of who I am, but because of who Jesus is and because of what Jesus is doing there. I want to be a part of the Christmas story. And the glorious thing is, I can, and so can you. We are all of us invited by God himself to be a part of what God's doing. And sometimes it's easy to forget that that baby that was born in Bethlehem grew up to become an adult. And when he did, he taught us over and over again, the most important thing that we can do is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength, and to love one another as yourself. In other words, he taught us to open the door and open our heart and open our lives to what God is doing. And if Christmas really is the incarnation of God, and if loving God and each other is the most important thing to do according to this incarnate God, then this is the ultimate Christmas message. That when all the gifts have been given, and when all the decorations have been put away, and when the Christmas dinner has been eaten, and our nativity sets get packed up again, Christmas is. Christmas remains. And the ultimate test of how well we've celebrated Christmas this year will not be in what was under the tree for us or what was under the tree by us. It will be in how well we opened our hearts to let that Christmas message in. It will be in how well we have become a part of the Christmas story. May you choose to be a part of that story. May I choose to be a part of that story, because then, and only then, will there truly be peace on earth and goodwill to all men. Thanks be to God. God is here. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we come before you just in awe this night of what you not only did, but what you are doing. And so we pray for your Holy Spirit to come upon us and help us with our fears, because God, our fears just get in the way all the time. And so move in us and move through us. And allow us to know that your presence with us means we don't have to be afraid. And Lord, you know, when we really look at you, Jesus, when we look at everything you did and everything you said, it's so clear that the only thing you want for us is what's best. So we don't need to be afraid to go where you tell us to go and to do what you tell us to do. because you're always wanting what's best for us. We praise you for that. And we thank you for this night of nights. We thank you for this gift of gifts. We thank you for the glorious truth of Emmanuel, that you are with us. We give you praise and thanks for all good gifts. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen.